Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
It's difficult for me to conceive how such a person, you know, should be dealt with. I mean, how should I see him? He takes birth in Navadvip Dham, yet he doesn't worship Mahaprabhu externally.
Mahaprabhu's instructs to Jagadananda Pandit, you go to Vrindavan, show your respect from a distance, but don't mix with them closely. So general respect we must have for this dham, but not particular attention to the present inheritance. Not coming in close connection with them, but a distant respect. That should be our policy. Though outwardly we do not feel anything favorable in them, but still the farthest connection of this dhamma will bring some distant future goodness for them, which at present we can't feel and we can't get benefited by that. So from distance we show some revered attitude, but don't go closely to have their influence. Mahaprabhu asked Jagadananda Pandit when he reached Vrindavan, Vrindavan is Yaiviya Nayaviti Yoga. Don't stay there for a long time. Govardhane Uthiyana Dekhive Gopal. To have a look at the Gridhari, don't try to climb up on the head. And about the Vrijavasi, from far off you will show respect to them, but don't come into closer connection with them. And Sanatana Goswami, Kavidas Goswami has written, Pashtimar Loksav Mudho Anachar Tahan Pajadula Dune Bhakti Sadachar. Sanatana Goswami and the root, they preached there the good conduct, Bhakti Sadachar, the devoted like practices they preached there. Because they are of Mudho Anachar, they are foolish, and their practices were not very pure in Vrindavan. And you find in Kaitanya Charitamrita, Paschima lok sa mudho anachar, taha duha duhe pachari lo bhakti sadachar. So on the whole we come that they have got fortune, so they have come in connection with their dham, but at present, that is not properly developed, so we cannot get any benefit by their association. But remote connection with Bhajanam, they have got very near. In this way, we should treat with them.
Okay. Yeah.
Bhakti Siddhanta, one book I've been reading on Bhakti Siddhanta, he talks about Sumati.
Sumati.
Yes. A good disposition.
Yes. But Sumati, Su means good. But good, to his extremist sense, must come in Krishna devotion, Krishna consciousness. Dvaiti bhadra bhadra gan sab mano dharma. The calculation of good bad in this misconceived area, the whole cell is false. But good and bad in the real plane of Krishna consciousness, both is good. The opposition party and the real party, both have got some good position, efficacy. In a good governed land, the opposition party has got also some bad and the ill government in the land where the evil government is standing, both parties are bad. So what is good and bad, the intrinsic value we must try to love. What is the criteria of good and bad? Enjoy the exploitation and renunciation, both are bad. And the service is good. And service is of two kinds. One calculative and another surrender. The surrender service is the highest type of service. And that is found in Vrindavan, Krishna consciousness. Bravery to the extreme and gain also to the extreme. Service means to accept slavery. He is so good that if we can have the connection of slavery to him, we will be saved. So good that he is courageous. As much degree of slavery we will be able to accept, we may attain such height of goodness. It is quite reasonable. Otherwise, we won't have any entrance into that holy land, the holiest land. Holiest land we can have admission only if we offer our service to the extreme point of slavery. Then we can be admitted to enter into that holiest land. And unconditional. Slavery, of course, is unconditional. And that must be very hard. Then we may be accepted to that holy domain. But slavery in that domain, that is far, far better than the mastery of this land of exploitation, that of reaction is very, very bad. And in the middle, the land of renunciation, that is neither good nor bad, nothing, zero. That is zero point, freezing point.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned that Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta, when he put on the Brahman's thread, that previously Jiva Goswami had written that one would have to take birth in the family of a Brahman to become a Brahman, but that some later Mahajan would change the rule. Is this...
Jiva Goswami has written that ordinary sadhu, the yogis, the Brahmin Shankar or the schools, they say that by the dint of our knowledge, the yoga and the devotion, we can destroy all the actions, but except the those actions that are being attached to this body to suffer, except this. Thus, the devotees could say, no, the impurity for which this, the present attachment of the race or anything, that also can be done away with by the influence of Krishna Mahārāja. Prārabdha karma. But those karma that is already attached to be suffered or enjoyed in this body, that is prārabdha karma. The other schools, they think that without prarabdha, that this body attached karma, all other karmas may be finished. But the bhakta school says that by taking Harinam, it is not possible by yoga and jnana and other things, but by Krishna Nam, one can get rid of all sorts of impurity, even in this bath, in this body. This body is the outcome of previous good and bad action. But this also is purified, the prarabdha karma. Now the question is, if the prarabdha karma is purified, then one comes to the highest birth, the Brahmin. The question is that he attains the position of a Brahmin body. But a Brahmin body, Brahmin boy, until and unless he is getting the seven thread and the mantram, he is not considered to be eligible to do the work of a Brahmin. Brahmin boy only when he is conferred with upavit samskar, then also he is eligible to worship Narayana and do all other sacrifices, what only the Brahmins can do. So by taking the name, one is purified and becomes and attains the stage of a Brahmin boy. And Jiva Goswami says, because we do not find any custom to give them sacred thread, so they must wait for the next birth. But Jiva Goswami admits that anyhow, whatever caste he may be, if he takes the name of Krishna, then he discards the defect of any other birth and attains the position of a Brahmin birth. It is admitted. Means he attains the position of a Brahmin boy who has not given any sacred thread. A Brahmin boy, until and unless he is given the sacred thread, he is not admitted for the services of Narayana and any other yoga. So there is no custom introduced here to give them sacred thread. Consequently, they are to wait for the next birth. That is the conclusion of Jiva Goswami. But our Guru Maharaj can say, when no harm if they can be given sacred thread, the custom may be introduced. He says there is no such custom. Custom and privilege, not privilege. But that may be introduced. Our Guru Maharaj came to introduce that thing, what was not in Bhog. Because he said that the two things are being given indulgence not introducing that usage. What? Why? Those that get the Vaishnava initiation, they think that they are lower than Brahmin. So they must be encouraged that no longer they are in lower position. They are fit to do all these services. They should also be encouraged. For that purpose and from another thing, the so-called Brahmins of their proud, their flesh consciousness, they comes to think that these Vaishnava Dikha, the God Vaishnava Dikha, they are lower than us. So they are committing offense to the Vaishnava. So the Brahmins and the so-called other higher caste, they should not be giving the chance of committing Vaishnava Parada. And at the same time, those are taking the Vaishnava Mantra, they also should not think themselves lower, that they are unfit to do the worship of the body Brahman can do. They cannot do that. So, these twofold help in the Vaishnava society, this function, this usage should be introduced. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he boldly came forward to introduce this system, for which Jiva Goswami told that that is because that is not the usage. Qualitatively it is all right, but because there is no custom, so they have got no other alternative but to wait for the next one. Do you follow? Am
yes.
I clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did Jiva Goswami, he wrote that someone would come? Did he write that someone would come?
Huh?
Did he write, Jiva Goswami, that someone would come and introduce?
Yes. If any Mahajan is a great personage, he will come and introduce such custom, then it will be all right. No difficulty in the rules of Shastra. The fact, it is all right, but none has introduced such custom, so we have no other alternative but to wait for him. But if any Mahajan comes and he begins such introduction boldly, then it is all right from the standpoint of the fact, truth, it is all right. According to Shastra Siddhanta, it is not wrong, but only no custom, no usage, so it is stopped. But if any Mahajan comes and introduces such usage, then it will be all right. And our Guru Maharaj did that. He told that because twofold disadvantages is found. The Brahmins are committing offenses against the Vaishnava, and the Vaishnava also thinks in their term that they are very lower, they cannot attain. So the regular faith in the name is also being disturbed in them. So it must be introduced. Brahmananam sastribhu sattva-jadi vishvati sattva-jadi sastribhu sarva-vidanta-karo sarva-vidanta-vit-kotya vishnu-bhaktu-vishishvati. That he is a devotee of a Vishnu, he is superior to crores of ordinary Vedantic Brahmins. A practical Brahmin is better than a bhakt Brahmin, and practical means who performs yajna etc., worships Krishna, and those that worship with material things, one who can worship with the help of his consciousness, he will be preferred, get more preference, Vedantavit. Then Vedantavit, they think that their goal is non-differentiated consciousness. So if one can have the idea of differentiated consciousness, then he will hold the higher position than crores of such Vedantic Brahmins. Though are suffering from the disease that spirituality means non-differentiated Brahma. So Vishnu Bhakta, who can see the personality in consciousness, they will be far more superior. And Vishnu Bhakta Shastrava Ikaanta Ku Vishishyate. And amongst the devotees who regulate themselves according to Shastra, and calculation. They are of lower order in Vaikuntha. And those can have exclusively surrendered to the service of the Absolute Entity with the innermost love and faith, that we can do, they are the highest of the highest order. Okay.
Well, when the disciple isn't in the physical presence of his guru, is it the same for him? Is physical presence?
What's the question?
Is when a disciple is not in the physical presence of the guru, is it as spiritually benefiting? He can apart.
Any spiritual difference?
Yes, any spiritual difference.
Being physically together and being many miles away, any difference in the spiritual condition or not? He's asking.
We can get benefit only through Shraddha. Guru's position should not be considered as mundane. It should not be identified with his mundane appearance. Only through Shraddha we are able to approach him from far off also. But still, of course, by physical vicinity, we can get the chance of hearing from him, and also many practical dealings that may help us about the knowledge of Vaishnava Sadhaja. What should be the conduct of a Vaishnava? All these things we can have some sort of conception. But Shraddha must be there. Physical closeness or distance. In both cases, Shraddha or faith, respectable faith, must be there. And in the lower stage, the physical nearness has got some more efficacy. By his movements, by his talks, his instructions, we have to learn the spiritual etiquette there, and also many spiritual ideals, also maybe clear ideas, thoughts. Physical vicinity will be useful in the lower case, the lower stage, but Shraddha must be there, as is true. Otherwise you may commit offences. Physical nearness, if divided of faith, then that may be the cause of offences against Guruji. Sometimes senior godbrothers may be very useful in helping our dealings to Guruji, at the beginners. His conduct may not be very clear and helpful always. So in that case, some senior godbrother may come to help us, to explain his movements and to vary the differences between them. Ishadānaṁ vachasvattam tathaiva charitam kvacit tesaṁ yat svabacu yuktam buddhimāṁ tat samācari. The instructions of the great personages is always true. But their conduct, their practice may not be always useful to the beginner. Bhagasvattam tathaiva charitam acharitam, not always may be useful. But their words are always useful, the instructions, but not their practices, always. So, when fair understanding person will accept those practices that are backed by his words. Svabhachu yuktam buddhimang tatsama, they will accept them also. Because from his higher stage, he may do something that will not be useful in my stage. He has got such spiritual power. The little defects may not harm him in any way in the practice. Little defects in practice may not harm him.
But after
Vijayasatam
Pachan
Kikhaya. Pachan?
Yes.
How? So, Isharanang Bachasvattam, their instructions should always be followed. But their conduct, not always. Only those conduct practices that are in consonance with his instruction, they should be accepted by the fair-minded beginners. Ijang sabuju duktam. Hare Krishna.
Guruji, I had one question about...
Do you follow what I say?
Yes.
I understand.
Yes,
ma'am. Am I clear?
Very clear.
Mm. We shouldn't try to imitate those who are very advanced.
Not imitate, but follow. Not imitation, but to pursue. Not anukaran, but anusharan. Anusharan and anukaran. One is imitation, and another to follow the footsteps. These things are different. But this.
Well, my question was: is there a fixed number of living entities, or does Krishna always expand the number of living entities? Does he increase always?
What does he say?
Is there a fixed number?
What?
Jivatma.
Yes.
Is there a certain number fixed? Or Krishna can create more, expand the number? Generally we are told asankhya.
Yes, we should think it as asankhya. There was a question that whether jiva is free if Krishna is omniscient, then how jiva's action can be free? Do you follow? Krishna is omniscient, God is omniscient, he knows everything. So the future of the jiva also. Then jiva is compelled to retrace that way. And how he is free, it is already fixed. Do you follow?
Yes.
It's not a question. One doctor of philosophy put me this question in UP. Allahabad. Ultimately, he joined our mission. That Kapoorji in Vrindavan.
Oud
Bihari Kapoor.
Obial Kapoor.
Yes. He put me this question. Then I put another question to him. The God is free or not? But yes. And he is omniscient. How you can compromise, harmonize with the omniscience and the free will of God? I put this question. He is omniscient. He knows his future. And he must go by that fixed road. Then how he can be free? So Jeeva's freedom. Jeeva's freedom and he is also part of the freedom of the Lord. And his knowledge, his understanding also a part of the Supreme. Mm.
So dove si corrono? Qualche città?
But if it is innumerable, then how God is omniscient? If he does not know what is the number of the jiva soul, then how he can be
all-knowing,
in a position of omniscience? He does not know. God does not know. So we are in the plane of limitation and counting. The laws and the rules of the world of infinity is something more. So he knows everything. He knows himself. And also sometimes it is stated that he cannot finish himself. Both such characteristics going on. He knows him, and also it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that his potency is also not of less importance. Sometimes he himself cannot measure the utility and the capacity of his potency. That is also infinite. His every aspect is infinite. So that is a peculiar thing. Peculiar thing that is not to be harmonized in our limited brain. The ways and the nature of the infinite cannot be understandable by our rapid brain. Rapid brain. We must be conscious of the fact. And so the Bhagavatam has repeatedly requested us not to go to measure the infinite, but submit to your own respective duty. You will draw more benefit thereby. Don't go to measure the immeasurable. That is loss of energy. That is not possible for you. So you, if you get some insinuation from within that avoiding or inquiry into the infinite, mind your duty, what is attached to you, you will be more benefited thereby. And this is not your department, that will be wild goose chasing. It is impossible for you to measure the infinite. So why waste of energy, jnani prayasam dubhasya? Be satisfied with the knowledge that you have come to him, he is such and such, and one drop is sufficient to inundate you wholly. one drop of nectar is sufficient to inundate the whole earth of your or infinite of your conception. Why do you bother to only for knowing? It is immeasurable. Your inquisitive tendency is not very wholesome. Try to utilize you in the service of Him. Wherever you are posted, try to give you wholly there, dedicate you there in your located position. And then from there you will benefit yourself to the highest degree. Jnani prayasam dupasya namante vijivanti. Jnana sunna bhakti yo hoy age kahavar. And Jnana visra is inquisitiveness, but that is adulterated bhakti devotion, not devotion proper. There inquisitive characteristic is predominating. Yes, that sort of service is adulterated service. I shall do something, I can create something, this is karma misra. I can contribute something, this egoistic feeling, that is karma misra. And I should know everything, too much curiosity to know everything, that is jnana misra. Your devotion, whatever given to me, I am satisfied. And I want to engage myself wholly in that point. Then that will be the best utility of my own self in the universe. Other tendencies are futile. Not only futile, but it is injuring, it is losing my time, wasting my time. This is pure bhakti. This is pure bhakti. Jnana-sunna bhakti, śraddha proper, faith proper, gives inspiration only to that. Karmanyevadhikārasti mahapalitya, never allow yourself to go into the calculation. Engage yourself deeply and deeply. Mahapalishukadācanam, mahakarmaphalahetubhu, Māti saṅgasta karma. When we inquire, we are surcharged with the spirit of inquiry, then that means some sort of doubt is there, and attachment for the result and the consequence. The inquiry, the underlying spirit, and the inquiry is that our attachment with the fruit, with the consequence of the work. Whether I am doing, it will benefit some tasteful result to me or not. That is anti-slavery spirit. We must do our duty within the limit, within the limit. And also we may be given the chance of leadership also, just as Guru. His function is arranged there. It inspires you to look after that is also service, absolute service. One who has come to recommend and teach us what is absolute service. He is also in the service, in the proper service. But still he has to do something on behalf of Krishna. to look after the welfare of so many, and what line would suit which man, and also sometimes to punish them, sometimes to accept their services for himself. These things done, but only by inspired by Krishna. They say this is abnormal. Abnormal, in their normal position, the Guru is also a servant. He is also serving Krishna by showing leadership to so many. He is more conscious with his connection with the upper world and serving. Because Krishna wants me to punish this man for this purpose, I do. Not for punishment, not for showing my superiority to him, that I am punishing him. But Krishna wants me, I can't help. For his service, I am to show that I am greater than him, I am controlling him, I am doing so many practices that is to show that I am his master. This is all these things are effect of the serving spirit to Krishna. So he is in every work, he is in fully established in service. And the service requires that he should be, that he should guide, he should master over many. Only for the service, it may be necessary. Otherwise, the service, the duty. If he wants me to read a book, a scripture, then it is devotion. But if to satisfy my curiosity, I read the same book, the Bhagavatam, that won't be bhakti, not be devotion. I hear the lecture of Guru Vaishnava with the object that I should get some benefit and I utilize it for some purpose to satisfy me. That won't be devotion. Adau arpito paschat kriyeto. I am listening the words, the instructions of Sadhu Guru. For what purpose? Who will be the beneficiary? Krishna. That sort of crude conception must be there. I am not entity at all. The entity is his, I am subservient. Whatever I shall learn, it goes to him. That sort of basic idea there should be in the devotional world. Good or bad, whatever I acquire, that will go to my master. I am not independent entity at all. I am not the recipient. Slave. Vikritasya yatha pasu. I am just a domestic animal. The master, he may utilize, he may sell me. The master may sell an animal, domestic animal, the horse or cow, and he get the money and may utilize it in any way he likes. The beast, the domestic beast, may not have any complaint there, nothing to say against the master. So, you think yourself in that plane, vikritasya saranagati. Surrender means of such quality, surrender. Surrender of this type, that the owner of a domestic animal, a dog, a cow, a horse, I am like that. He means that in any way he likes. That is the ideal of saranagati. We should conceive ourselves to be so much subordinate to the Absolute Will. As much as we can realize this, the necessity of such submission, we gain. We are gainer in the negative side. Try to increase your helplessness, the negative side, then you will be nearer to the positive. The more the negative, the more he can draw the positive. The bhakti, devotion proper is of such type. Surrender, dhanya, I am nowhere, I am helpless, to the extreme. And that will draw the sympathy of your guardian, your master. So much.